there, and welcome to the Danny
and Rihanna Show. This is Danny, Rihanna's husband.
And I am Rihanna, Danny's wife. And today, we're not going down memory lane quite as far as we have in past episodes. We're only taking it back a couple weeks, maybe a month, to some recent travels we've had with our new 3-month-old baby.
Yes, and that was... Honestly, I was a little bit nervous because this was going to be our first time traveling with her.
Yeah.
So we had two trips. One, we had to go to a gaming event. It's called the Dice Summit, located in Las Vegas. And the other one was just a family trip to Montana. And that one was a flight.
Yes.
So we had a drive trip and a flight. So... it was very scary at first because I didn't know what was going to happen. It was very random. But the cool thing is this is going to be a great podcast for parents, for new parents, or maybe those that are planning to have kids. You know, I think this will be a great conversation to talk about this.
So. Yeah. We're going to talk about what it was like, you know, doing a road trip in a Tesla. We'll talk about what it's like flying with a fresh little child. Talk about how it is attending a gaming event with a kid.
Yes.
A little bit of everything on this one.
First thing first, shout out to everybody that been listening to the show. Great feedback.
We've been getting such amazing comments from people saying that they really enjoy our trips down memory lane and are really vibing with the show, digging what we're doing. So thank you for your feedback. And if you have more, please keep sending it and let us know what you want to hear us talk about.
Do you want me to read a couple before we start our conversation?
That'd be awesome, yeah. Okay,
because I have a couple. And for those that are listening on Spotify, you could go there. We have a poll where every week we're going to have questions. And actually, I'm going to read the results from this episode.
That's exciting.
Yeah. So, yeah, people have been also commenting through YouTube. So if you're a YouTube subscriber, thumbs up, please. Also comment on the comment section below, and that will help us out to get discovered from other people too.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we've also had a couple people reach out to us on Twitter, through our social handles, and of course some private feedback from friends and family, which we always appreciate.
That was really cool.
Thank you all for supporting.
All right. So do you want to see the results from first the poll from last week?
Yes, let's do last week and then the week before.
It was only last week. When he started last week,
though. Okay. Cool.
I think so. I got to double check. It's been a while. So the question I posted in the last week episode, which was physical versus digital media.
Good one.
The question was, which way do you prefer to buy and consume media? Maybe because a lot of people are in between. We have 60% said a combination of both.
Okay, fair.
Digital, 40%. And nobody voted for physical.
Ooh, so interesting.
I think people are like in the middle. Yeah. They like both, right?
So the convenience. I get it. Yeah. It's interesting. Nobody's like straight physical media anymore. No. I honestly could have guessed that. And, you know, the industry is clearly moving the way that it has been because we don't do physical purely anymore.
Now, on that episode, we have two comments.
Okay.
And this was on Spotify. You could go right now to Spotify, look up the Danny and Rihanna Show, post your comments there. We'll read it on future episodes. I'm not going to read a lot, just two. This is from Walter. Awesome. Great perspective from digital and physical media. Very insightful from two veterans about games and culture. Love it.
Oh.
Yeah. And this one is from Chiquito Davi. He says, yo, that brown Zune brick was my baby back in those days. I was blown away by the Zune HD when it debuted. That might have been my first ever HD resolution screen I ever held/owned.
Yeah. The Zune has like a special place in a lot of people's hearts. I don't think folks give it enough love.
Yeah, it was amazing. Amazing. But next time we'll probably read some YouTube comments. We're gonna mix it up.
Spotify today.
Yeah. So let's start with our conversation about our trip. So
yeah.
We were planning this for a while. Because it was like back-to-back trips. And I know it was going to be very complicated because our daughter, Violet, she has never experienced this back-to-back. Maybe like a little trip here and there, like very short around here in the local area, but not long trips.
Yeah, local stuff, like out to a restaurant or store or something.
Yeah, so one thing that I brought up to Ree, I was like, look, I think it would make sense for us to wake up in the middle of the night, mm-hmm. 2-3 o'clock in the morning. We'll drive down and she's still going to be sleeping.
Yes.
And by the time we arrive, that's the time that she wakes up.
Also, mm-hmm. missing a bunch of traffic. And yes. we were driving to Vegas on a Monday, but this was a very special Monday because for those who aren't aware, the DICE Summit began the week and...
No, it was the day after.
The week after the Super Bowl.
Actually,
which
the
was
the day after.
Well, we drove the day after. It started on Tuesday.
Yeah, yeah.
But we drove up and the DICE Summit was the week directly following Super Bowl Sunday in Las Vegas. Yeah. And you can imagine...
Chaos.
How many people were still there
yeah.
and also exiting the city. So when we drove in to the hotel, we stayed at the Aria. Mm-hmm. The line to check out was almost at the door.
Yeah. Yeah, it was very, very long. But we're going to talk about that in a few minutes because there's a story behind that.
Yes.
So we'll pause on that one because mm-hmm. we're fast-forwarding too much.
Sorry. Just wanted to describe how we had to be super strategic because mm-hmm. of how crowded it was going to be.
So a lot of people don't know this. I have a Tesla Model 3. So I love EV cars. This already, like, what, 2 years now I've been having this car? Almost two years.
2 summers ago?
Yeah. So typically when you're a Tesla owner, I've been, you know, doing research about, doing long trips. I know we've been to Phoenix, Arizona. We drove there. That's like a good 6 hours.
That was the longest we've done.
And this is like a while back. And also... We drive all the time to Las Vegas to visit your family, your mom and everything. So, and your stepdad. So typically when you do long trips, it's recommended to charge your car 100%. If it's like everyday average stuff here, you know, local, 80%. So it is rare that I charge a car 100%. So at night, starting at 11 p.m., it's a program to start charging at that time. So when I wake up, it was already 100%. So now everything is prepared. Woke up. He's getting ready. I'm getting ready.
You're getting the baby all packed
up. Now we're getting baby ready.
Now put her in her little travel outfit, which was so cute. It was a little peacock outfit.
It was very cute.
It had little feathers on the butt and a hoodie on the top because you wanted her to be nice and snug.
Yeah. Now, the part where we might disagree in some parts is, and also it all depends on the trip. So... For Las Vegas and for Montana, we both took the stroller with us. So for Vegas,
God, yeah.
For Vegas made a lot of sense because hotels is pretty big, a lot of walking. You know, when we were there at the hotel, you know, we'll go from the room to the event, you know, and people wanted to see baby, you know, so mm-hmm. we're like showing everybody our beautiful child.
It was also easier to take more stuff because we were driving and not flying.
Yes, yes. So... I had to make sure that we had a lot of space in the car. So the trunk, put the stroller, put our bags. You know, we had our outfits for the mm-hmm. awards. You know, we put that on the side of the car.
We also used the frunk on this.
The frunk. Oh, so for those that don't know, frunk is the front part of the front trunk, you could call it, of the car, of the Tesla, because there's no engine. So you could put extra stuff in there. So yeah, I put too many shoes.
I was going to say something.
Shoes, sneakers.
It would have been fine if you brought the shoes in a bag, but you brought all of the shoes in their own boxes.
Yes, I want to keep it
clean. And so there were just many boxes of shoes everywhere.
It was a lot of boxes. That was my bad. But I like to keep my shoes and sneakers clean.
You know, I would never come at you for your sense of style. You always look very, very well put together.
Just saying. They're throwing it out there.
Maybe we could travel a little bit more strategically. That's all.
If you guys looked at the pictures of the awards, I mean, we were both looking.
I mean, just say, as a Tetris master, we could have done better.
We figured it out. So it was very cold that night.
Yes.
Typically over here, it goes to like the 40s, sometimes in the 30s, once in the blue, but it was like in the 40s when we left from here. And I was like, Loree, knock out. I got this. I'm going to listen to either the news or podcast or just listen to music. And we were fine. We drove.
Yeah. It went quick.
Halfway to the trip, around the 2.5 hour mark, maybe 3 hours, that's when the car will tell me where to charge. And I don't have to charge for the long. It's like maybe 5-10 minutes or so.
Long enough to go to the bathroom, stretch your legs.
But usually when I stop the car and I charge, I like to... give it an extra couple more minutes. Just I don't have to like be in the city in the single digits of like battery life. So we did that. Surprisingly, our daughter wasn't waking up.
No,
were you surprised?
She slept through. I was really surprised. So our baby, I would say at this point, and this is again 3 months, almost to the date when we were driving, she was sleeping through the night. And I know a lot of parents say, oh my gosh, you're so blessed. And we know that because we were able to get full night's rest. And that's really, really awesome. But I was surprised that she stayed asleep, because when we usually stop in the car and she's napping, she wakes up almost at every stoplight. Like, she does not like to be idle in the car when it's not moving. And so I was really shocked that she slept when we stopped for so long. But it also makes sense because she sleeps through the night. So she usually sleeps from about, well, at this point, at least she slept from about like 8 or 9 o'clock at night when we put her down, all the way to like 6 or 7 in the morning. Mm-hmm. So that was like her normal sleeping time.
Yeah.
So on the one hand, it was surprising because the car was stopping. But on the other hand, you know, she's a good sleeper.
Yeah. So the part where I was wondering when she was going to wake up, because you said, like you said earlier, she sleeps pretty good. I was wondering, is she going to stop? Is she going to get hungry in the middle of the night?
Yeah.
Typically, she wakes up. Okay, so for those who don't know, she wakes up maybe like once. Sometimes she sleeps through the whole night. And while we were driving, she still was snacked out. So she was very comfortable. You know, we had the heating.
Oh, nice and snug in her little peacock outfit.
Yeah, so by the time we arrived to Las Vegas, that's when she woke up. It was like maybe 15 minutes left of the drive. So
my mom lives in Henderson, which is just outside of the city. And we were to Prim, which if you know the drive between LA and Vegas, is like this very obvious stop because there's a huge roller coaster and you can't miss it.
Yeah.
And so there's like a casino there, a hotel, some places to eat, and of course the bank of Tesla chargers. So we stopped there. She woke up, we fed her, and then we were, you know, pretty close to Henderson, which is where my mom is. So we were almost there, like 20 minutes out.
Yeah. So we arrived. We did our thing.
The sun was coming up.
Yeah. She woke up. She was ready. Like, where are we? This is not Los Angeles. But so we went to your mom's house the first day. But the second day, we went to the hotel that we were staying at. So
this was checking in on the Tuesday, right? The Tuesday?
Yeah.
After the Super Bowl.
After the Super Bowl.
Still chaos.
I remember people were telling me when we arrived on Monday, a lot of people left Monday morning.
Sure. Chaos. My sister's actually at the Super Bowl.
Everybody was saying it was chaos. Getting out of the hotels. There was delays at the airport because there was too many people there. Yeah. So we arrived at the hotel Tuesday. That's when the first day of DICE. And we have the stroller now. Everything is already out now. Yeah, I have like a bunch of boxes too because of my shoes and everything like that. So now we had to figure out.
Check in.
Okay, how are we going to check in? I saw the line. Oh my God, that line was long. I didn't know how I was going to do this.
I've been to Vegas a lot of times. I've never seen the line that long before.
Well, the good thing is because of our daughter.
Mm-hmm.
I think this is like the premium for gold members of the hotel.
Yeah.
They stopped me. Hey. Come on, I don't want you to be in line. No way, not with a crying baby.
Right.
Come over here, and they helped me out. I was like, oh, thank God. Everything was super fast. I was there like maybe less than 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Thank God.
So I'll pause here because we maybe skipped over one of our official tips as parents traveling with the newborn or a young kid.
Yeah, go ahead.
Number one, leave in the middle of the night. Like, leave when the kid's going to sleep. If you can, you know, manage it with whatever your attention and sleep schedule are like, it's easier to drive in early wee hours of the morning.
Yes.
Than driving in late at night, which, you know, then you get sleepy, which is dangerous, or in the middle of the day when everybody's awake and on the road. So I'd say tip number one, leave in the middle specifically of the night.
Yeah.
Tip number two, make sure that baby is very visible during check-in, because somebody, a kind soul, a very nice woman, might help you out and pull you over to a quicker line or let you skip ahead.
And also, I think and you forgot another tip, which is very important, is plan ahead.
Oh, obviously.
Plan ahead.
I mean, that's for any trip for anyone, not just kids.
But when I say plan ahead, meaning like, should I... Look, everybody's got to take a car seat no matter what. No matter where you go, you have to take a car seat, which we're going to have a lot of tips on the airport side, which is very different than the driver part.
Very different.
So also, is it going to be worth it to take a stroller? Because sometimes it makes sense to take a stroller to like a place where we went, Las Vegas, you know, long walk.
Yeah.
That makes sense. The other trip, we're going to have a different conversation about that in a few minutes, but it was a different experience than that one.
Mm-hmm.
So it is important to find out, talk to your spouse. What is it you're going to do?
Yeah. What are your activities like? Activities, how much will you be in and out of the hotel and the room?
Yeah. Because also... we also brought our to carry the baby
carriers. Didn't touch it once.
We didn't touch it, but it is good to have that.
Sure.
In case you don't have a stroller and you just
need to have your arms free.
Yeah, arm free and like you could. I mean, we did a lot with the stroller in Vegas, but I think it would have been okay too with have that on, have baby, because I used that before when we went to, I believe, Target here in Los Angeles.
Yeah, we were shopping.
And it was cool. I was comfortable. Baby was knocked out the whole time. You know, I was, you know, walking around.
Nice and snug.
And this is something that Rhee always mentioned to me, because we went to a mall, and when there's like moms, other moms walking around with their kids, and they see you with a baby, they're like, they give you this look.
Yeah,
like,
you get like, so I was saying to Danny, it's like the black person nod where you see somebody, you just give them a little head nod.
Yeah.
Now I get like the mom smile or like the dad smile where you're there's like, somebody with a small kid and they see me with Violet and they're like, oh.
Yeah, that's funny.
Like, oh, I remember when mine was that little.
That
it's really sweet.
So your experience, besides us working and all this stuff, because I know we had like this complicated schedule.
I know I do a lot. So
so we just a week. How was it for you the week before we talk about Montana?
Yeah, going through the schedule was, I know a lot probably because I was, of course, at this work event. We were announcing our new company and our new podcast. I was working to film and get content for What's Good Games. And also interacting with people at the company that I work for who are also attending. So it was a lot of that, plus networking and meeting new people and seeing old friends. And I have a baby and I'm nursing her every couple hours. So it was a lot of things that I had to manage and try to juggle it all and fit it all in. So what I did was I would wake up with baby. We'd hang out in the morning for a little while. If there were people who wanted to see her, I bring her to a meeting with me. She's just hanging out. She's just part of the meeting. And then my mom would come to the hotel and hang out for a little bit. And she would be in the room with Violet while I ran down to the summit and took additional meetings and filmed things and all that stuff. And then towards the afternoon, mom would take Violet back to her house, which again, is only a few minutes away from the strip. And then have baby for overnight. And then we would repeat the same thing in the morning. Mom would bring Violet over to the hotel. I'd be with her in the morning so I can nurse. And then nursing her throughout the day, running back and forth to the room, which, you know, I got a lot of steps in. Let me tell you, I was exhausted.
It was very exhausting.
And luckily I was eating enough and drinking plenty of water.
Which is very important.
Very important, especially in the desert. But yeah, and then she would take her and rinse and repeat. And I would pump overnight so that I... you know, had some fresh milk for her in the morning. And yeah, it worked out pretty well.
So before we go to Montana, how was that nursing her at the hotel?
Yeah.
And also we'll bring up the Montana airport and all this stuff. So.
Yeah. Yeah. So nursing on the road is always weird, right? Like you're not in your comfortable chair or this little spot that you usually have. But I had a nursing cover that our friend Brittany, shout out to Brittany Brombacher, gave to me when we were putting everything together for our registry. So I was able to nurse Violet anywhere, which was really helpful because like there's, for instance, one moment at brunch where I had to make sure she was okay. I did use a bottle, but I had the ability to cover her and like make sure that she was comfortable for her nap and in a little bit of a quieter and darker environment. So all of that was really, really great. I will say in the hotel, and I really do appreciate the Aria for making accommodations for us. They provided a refrigerator for our milk, but it wasn't cold enough.
It wasn't cold enough.
Yeah. And it didn't keep the milk fridge safe. So I actually ended up using a lunchbox with ice packs in order to keep the milk cold enough for the next day. Mm. And that worked out fine. Having the pump in the room was fine. I have a portable pump, a Spectra, which is really, really great. And
highly recommend it for those that.
Yeah, highly recommend the Spectra. Yeah. The blue one is the one that I have. And I also packed with us a washing basin that kind of like pops up. So if you've seen like the, there's this, all the different things that are rubber, right? And they pop up so that they can become like full sized. So I had a wash basin that I use with my typical brush and my palm olive, my little tiny miniature palm olive that we travel with, and then a drying rack. I also brought a drying rack for all the bottles and the pump parts. So all of that happened in the hotel room, and the hotel room had really hot water, so we didn't have to worry about that. Everything was definitely safe on that side of things, got hot enough. And yeah, it all fit. We drove, so again, it was easy to toss everything in the car. My pump came with the bag that fits all of the pump parts in it and all of the bottles and the washing stuff. So that was actually really smooth. I will say the thing that was hardest about nursing a baby at an event was the back and forth. And I didn't want her down on the casino floor the whole day because it's so smoky. Like, it was not a smoke-free hotel.
Very crowded.
Very crowded.
Loud music.
And Violet did great. We didn't get sick. We were very careful. And so all of that was fine, but I just didn't want her to be too overstimulated or overexposed. Yeah. And so that was the purpose of having mom and her husband hang out in the room with Violet most of the day so that she would have a little bit more of a familiar environment, right, with the two of them. And running back to the room to feed her every couple hours was pretty draining, I will say. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we do what we got to do. And everybody who, you know, I had meetings with who maybe I was a few minutes late because, you know, that happens with the baby, or people who had to deal with Violet running around. She doesn't run yet, but
not yet.
Wiggling around and distracting us while we were trying to have our conversations. Thank you for your patience and your grace. Because yeah, she's part of the deal now. So that was pretty challenging, but I'm glad we did it and we learned from it.
Yeah. One thing, I'm looking at our child because he's moving on
the monitor.
So, yeah, the monitor. So another thing too, before we finish with the Vegas story,
yeah.
When we got to Vegas, shout out to Megan from Dice.
Megan Scavia.
Yeah, Megan Scavia. So she surprised us. Her and the team created a badge, a media badge. Was it a media badge? Is this an attendee badge?
Attendee badge.
For our Violet, and mm-hmm. It was cool seeing a picture of you and her. She was just here with her badge
her
on.
Little badge, her baby's first convention.
She was the youngest
attendee. DICE attendee ever.
Ever in the history of DICE.
It said experienced baby was her first title.
Yeah, that was very cool.
DNR Media. Cool.
Now, ending the trip, now we have to drive back to Los Angeles, so... Mm-hmm. We have to carry all the boxes, all our luggage, all the shoes boxes, all the stuff.
Our swag,
extra.
More space,
exactly. So, So this time we left like around 6 p.m.
Yeah, more at the beginning of the night, but not like sleepy time for us, sleepy time for her.
Typically, now she's been like this kind of lately where she gets a little cranky at first. Like, she's like, she's tired, but she doesn't want to go to sleep.
She's at that 4-month sleep regression.
Yeah. So, yeah. But with this trip, she knocked out and she didn't wake up. She wasn't fussy at all. Like, she was good.
Yeah.
She woke up.
When we got home. Yeah. She didn't wake up at a stop at all.
The car. Mm-hmm. We stopped to get drinks.
I actually
water,
like reached over and unbuckled her from the car seat and was like, you know, ready to let her stretch her little legs. And she was just.
She was knocked out. She didn't want to wake up at all.
She
slept
great that night.
Yeah. So that was really cool. So
she didn't really wake up when we got home. Yeah. She just kind of stirred a little bit and then we put her back to sleep.
So now we arrived. Now a couple of days later, now we have to get ready for another trip. Now,
yeah.
This time airport, flight.
This time it was the airport. And not a long flight. It was only 2 hours and change.
But this is baby's first flight.
So our first flight with baby.
Any tips on that first before we continue?
Oh, boy. Get bags for your car seat and your stroller.
Yes. Highly recommend on that one. Yeah. Because you do... You seen how they handle bags?
Yeah, any airport. I'm not coming for your baggage handlers, but that stuff came back beat up.
Oh yeah, we bought a bag and it was already destroyed.
The bag had tears in it, so that would have happened to the stroller.
Right? It's a heavy stroller.
Sure, of course, stuff gets heavy. But yeah, I would say definitely get bags for anything that you're going to gate check. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that as we walk through the process we went through in a second. But that's my number one before you leave tip is make sure you have a bag for everything. Number two, pack with breakdown and setup in mind. So we had for baby, cause we each had a bag and a carry-on ourselves. A carry-on and like a shoulder bag. You had a backpack. I had a tote, but for baby, we had her diaper bag. We had her stroller. We had her car seat. We also had a carrier for her. Mm-hmm. So that's a lot of additional stuff that we had never traveled with before. And having her in the car seat, in the car is obviously a requirement. Then we got to the airport. We decided to put her car seat in the stroller to stroll her into the airport and then put her carrier underneath in the extra carrier in the stroller. And then I think you had the diaper bag and then I had a tote and then you had two of the baggages and it was just a lot of stuff.
Plus, I forgot to mention, we went to a restaurant
because we had time.
We wanted to eat something and then we realized that we didn't have time. And then we told the guy, oh, look, we're not going to have time
We had time, but they were like, oh, food will take about 30 minutes. And had like 20 or something. Yeah,
something like that. So we were like, hey, don't worry. Get us our money back.
Mm-hmm. We'll grab sandwiches.
We bought sandwiches. So now we're carrying drinks and sandwiches. Small bag.
Sure.
The guy saw us from far away, mm-hmm. ran and bought and gave us the food for free.
Ran over to the gate.
You know what? Don't worry about it. I was like.
He felt bad.
But now we're carrying
sandwiches. So now we each have two sandwiches.
The burrito.
Two meals, two drinks, and then all of that other stuff.
Plus all the other stuff. So we're like.
It was a lot. It was too much stuff in our hands.
It was a lot. So I'm like, oh my God.
Too much stuff in our hands.
This is a lot. And now we're. Okay.
Yeah, it was a lot.
Another tip. And I know you mentioned it very briefly. But if you're get to the gate, pack up, get ready. Because usually. When they start boarding people, mm-hmm. they always will mention
people with small children
could go first, you mm-hmm. know, all this, like veterans too could go in, disability and all that stuff. So and we were not prepared. We were like, all right, we'll pack up. We thought, let's pack up outside because it's Burbank, so when you get out of the Burbank airport from the gate, it's you're outside. There's no like special gate thing, like, you know, like,
yeah,
like
there's no jetway.
You
just walk up the ramp outdoors into the plane.
Yeah, so
small plane.
We were packing and packing and packing.
And what he means by packing is taking the stroller and
folding
taking the stuff out of it, folding it down. Yeah. But you skip security. We haven't even gotten there yet.
Oh my God, the security. Yes, I forgot about the security. Yeah. Go ahead. You want to talk about the security? I'm so sorry. I forgot about it. That was complicated too.
It was. So
that was very
complicated. We'll get to the point, which is maybe don't take a stroller if you don't need it. But so we get to security. Yeah. I have a bottle of pre-made formula.
Two
bottles of pre-made formula in her diaper bag. And they tell us at the airport that because we have the formula, they have to look at all of our stuff, which they didn't tell us on the way back, so I don't know if that's real or not. But whatever,
I think
it
all depends on the airport. Every airport is different. They
sure, do differently. Yeah. But what happened is they had to like take the little wet cloth and wipe everything down and test it for, I don't know, explosives or whatever.
We have pre-check, by the way, TSA pre-check.
And we're TSA pre-check.
Yeah.
So we get to security. We first off we went to the wrong gate, and then we had to go to a different gate.
Okay.
But we got there in plenty of time, which is why we were so close.
I want to say something about Burbank Airport. It's a very small airport.
Yeah. So there's only a few places to go.
So when you get there, you see the signs of the airlines, right? So yes. We see the airline that we're going. It was Avelo, it's called, right? Avelo. So, and it's a very new airline. Like, it's not that big. Sure. It's small. So we see the sign. We're like, oh, it's on this side of the airport. So we go, really, let's just walk. Because when it's the same thing with every other airlines is there. Delta is in one area. JetBlue is in one area. So this one, we're like, all right, we looked at it. Okay, let's go. We get there, TSA pre-check. They're checking our passport and our flight. And they're like, oh, no, you're at the other side of the airport. And then we're like,
so you have to walk over there.
So now,
which is a nice,
it was nice.
A nice moment for having the stroller.
Yes, it was nice. Now we get there. The TSA line is more people on this one compared to the one that we went.
Yeah.
And when we got there,
a little busier.
You know, I'm like, TSA pre-check, we're good. Yeah, I'm like, we don't have to do anything else. We're good.
Sure.
So when we got there, they looked at the formula and they're like, sorry, man, we got to like check this.
They tested everything. They didn't open it, but they did have to like test everything.
But.
And then the stroller.
But you're missing something.
Okay.
We have to get you through the scanner. I had to go to the scanner.
Yeah.
Because of the formula.
Yeah.
Typically, when you're a TSA pre-check, you don't have to do none of that. So I went
to
the...
We still walk through the...
No, but it's the
metal
main,
detector.
But it's the other one. The one that's like... They scan you...
Oh, the full body.
The whole full body. So I had to do that. And okay. I'm like, what?
Because you were the one carrying the diaper bag.
They were like, it has to be one of you guys. I'm like, oh my God. So, okay, I'll do it. So,
they put you through the scanner. They also... They made us take everything out of the stroller. So as I mentioned before, in the stroller, there was a bag for the car seat. Yeah. There was a bag for the stroller. There was her carrier. I think also like one of your coats because you had a coat as well. And like,
yeah, maybe, it was freezing. Montana was cold. So I had to get
my jacket. So like we just have all this loose stuff in the bottom of the stroller. Right. And it was very conveniently all tucked in so that we could just wheel it on through and get through quickly. And they're like, no, you have to take everything out. So that took some time. I mean, we were going through security. Usually we get through security, you and me, before we've traveled with baby, under 5 minutes, right? Especially since we've had TSA pre-check, right?
Yeah.
And plus, we both pack pretty intelligently. And now with baby, it took what, like 20 minutes?
It took a while.
The whole time, which is why we were later to the gate than we expected.
I was so frustrated.
So it was a lot. And people were being very kind and patient with us. But like, she was asleep, which is why we didn't take her out of the car seat to begin with. And I had to take her out.
She woke up.
And this, you know, the flight was in the middle of the day. We didn't have a control over that. So it just wasn't the smoothest experience, I would say. And I've seen this. This is a tip that I have seen that we didn't follow. They say to just wear the baby in a carrier so you can just walk straight through, but we still would have had the stroller with all the stuff in it.
Yeah, yeah.
So
again,
that wasn't as smooth as it could have been.
If you're planning to travel your newborn or baby,
yeah,
where you don't know if you're going to use the stroller or not, make sure to do your research, because we went to Montana, and this like a little fast forward, just a little bit. We didn't use the stroller at all.
We didn't use
it
once. It stayed in the bag the whole time.
The whole time it was in the bag.
The only time we used the stroller was in the airport.
I looked at Rhea, I'm like, was it worth it?
No.
Going through all that stuff in the beginning of the story.
It was not worth it.
It wasn't worth
it. But we didn't know.
We didn't know.
That's the thing. And it was helpful in the airport to begin with.
It was helpful in Vegas.
Yes.
Not in Montana.
Yeah. Not when we were going on a family trip where we're in the house mostly or in the car and we're not doing a bunch of walking.
Car seat, 100% you need that everywhere you go.
Obviously.
No matter what. So
I think we're back to security.
Now after security, the restaurant.
We get to the gate. We have all these food stuffs with
us. Yeah, so now we're trying to figure, it's like a puzzle. And I'm like, and people passing by. And
so,
I'm like,
yeah,
this is so.
It was high stress, right? So.
Oh my God.
And here's another tip that we didn't follow.
Yeah.
They say have one parent go and pack all of the stuff up for gate check, which means you've already handed them your ticket. You're about to get on the plane, but you break all the stroller stuff down. You put the stroller in the bag. You put the car seat in the bag and then hand it over to the luggage people. They give you a special tag and then they put it under the plane with all the luggage, but you didn't have to put it away, you know, back at the beginning of the airport, right? Yeah. So this is a gate check. They say to have one parent go through and do gate check while the other parent stays behind with the baby. We didn't do that.
We didn't do that. Look, we're learning. So, we're all learning. Now we know for next time. Now we know.
That was stressful. And there's something about like the performance anxiety of having people watching and judging you.
We were right in the middle.
Because we were right in the middle of everybody walking onto the plane. So you're like trying to like, oh, sorry. Let me get out of your way, sir. Yeah, let me get out of your way, ma'am. Yeah. And you just feel the heat of people staring at you. Now, no one was being rude.
No, they understand.
But it's like, still just that pressure.
Yeah. No.
And I will say, there was one dad when we were having that security struggle that looked at me with Violet and then looked at his son. And he said, you used to be that little. And it was really
sweet. That was
really
cute.
Are some fine little shining moments in there. But it mostly was just stress.
Put it this way, it was so bad. It was so bad that the flight, I don't know if it was a flight attendant or somebody was the working at by the gate.
Yeah.
Came in, they're like, they just grabbed it.
They're just trying to help. Side,
just trying to help. They saw us struggling with all these bags.
And we're very clearly new at this.
Very, very new. So then, okay, so now we're getting into the plane.
Yeah.
Right? We're boarding now.
So we have now...
Tip number...
We have now four things of food. We each have a water. Each have a luggage and a bag. Now, and baby.
I have to say, when you go to the airport and you buy a bottle of water... It's a big bottle of water. It's every bottle at the airport is big.
Yeah, so I mean, that's this a good thing.
It is a good thing, but I'm saying...
But hard to carry.
Not in our situation. Yeah. Where we had a lot of stuff. Okay.
Hard to carry.
Remember that.
Yes.
So now we're boarding. So Ree has baby. Mm-hmm. I have two big luggages.
The diaper bag. Your backpack.
My backpack. The bags.
All the food.
So I'm like this. Like. So Ree... one thing that we made a mistake, and there was a lot of advice about this.
Yeah.
This is a big, big tip. When you're boarding, if you have your newborn, wait until every single person, don't board yet. Wait like outside of the entry of the plane. Don't board. Wait until everybody goes in. Then you go and board with your child. The thing is, if you go with your child, fussy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not, nothing is moving. Everything is the same. You know, so
they give you a hand and try to make things easier for parents by saying like, hey, if you have a young child, you can board early. But really, like we said before, that's the time for the one parent to go gate check all the stuff that's really complicated to break down and put into bags. And then maybe put one or two of the overhead bags away and then make sure you got your seats all settled.
Yes.
The other parent should stay behind with the baby until the end of everybody else boarding. Mm-hmm. Like you have more room. The kid can run around if they're walking already. You can, you know, run and grab a drink if you need a real quick last minute diaper change, which we did do on the way back. Yeah. You know, you just have more space to make sure the kid is comfortable versus sitting in the seat with like that low air quality. It was hot when we were sitting on the plane.
AC wasn't on yet.
They hadn't turned the plane on.
She was mad.
That was really rough. And we should have had one person hang back with Violet before
we made the mistake
boarding.
But we're learning for next time. Okay, so
that's another tip: is split up.
Now, fast forward. We're now boarding, and I'm carrying all those bags.
Yeah,
it was hard to walk in that
little skinny aisle. Yeah.
It was complicated. And look, thank God we had front seats, because if it was all the way at the end, oh boy.
Yeah, you didn't have to walk very far.
People would have been mad because I would take like forever. It was so uncomfortable.
It was
carrying
tough.
All that stuff. So I put everything on top. I sat down. Yeah. Ree too. Baby just laughing.
She was having a great time.
It's this morning. Morning, she's really happy, active. She just want to like play around and everything.
She's a morning person.
So we leave. So we're flying out.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at, I'll never forget this. I'm looking at Violet to see her reaction of the plane moving and taking off. I'm like, oh, is she going to be comfortable?
I have another tip around that.
Is she going to be scared or what? But another thing too, when you fly, you know, your ear pops.
Yeah.
Right. So there's a tip, and you want to mention about this tip, very important tip.
Yes. So for nursing babies, nurse on the way up, nurse on the way down. And the timing of that can be tricky depending on how long the flight is and what the kid's, eating schedule is that day, which will probably be different than in most days. But if you can, try to get the baby to nurse while the plane is ascending and descending. And I had the nursing cover, as I said. It was perfectly comfortable for me. Danny was sitting in the aisle. I was sitting in the middle seat. The seat next to us, the window was empty, thankfully.
It's not always going to be like that. We just
so
got
we put all the food. We put all the food there. Set there. Yeah. But yeah, like just do your best to try to feed the kid. Even if it's just some water, if they're a little bit older, or give them a bottle or some gummy bears or whatever it is, just so that they're swallowing to help normalize and release that pressure of the ears popping. So and that helped a lot. She was fine.
She
didn't cry at all.
I think she just cried when she got hungry, but
yeah, she was just hungry halfway through the flight.
That's about
yeah.
it. And I think she doesn't like to be dirty. So no. She poops or pees.
Yeah. And I did change her in the airport or in the airplane
now,
bathroom.
How was that experience? Cause didn't really talked about that. Cause the bathrooms are very small.
Oh yeah.
So how was that? And I think they had a, for diaper change for babies there, that one, right?
Yeah. So when we, and again, this was a smaller plane. It was, I want to say only like what 30 something rows. So, the bathrooms were small. There was only a changing table in the front bathroom. So I mean, that was fine. It was the closest one anyway. But, you know, I grabbed just her little portable changing pad, a diaper and some wipes, carried her up to the front and went into the little, you know, squeeze in the little bathroom. And you know, airplane bathrooms, they're small, right? So the changing table folds down from the wall over where the toilet is. And it almost kind of like, not almost, it overlaps the sink. So it lays from the wall all the way to the mirror that is in there. And it's a pretty decent amount of space, but it's also weird because there's a gap behind it in the wall where, you know, the toilet is
right there, yeah.
And so I was so paranoid that I was going to drop like one of her little shoes that we had on her like in the toilet while I was changing her, because it just felt like I was like the Cat in the Hat, like I had a million arms trying to handle everything. Of course she was squirming all over the place and the plane is moving and she's rolling and she's trying to touch stuff and I'm like, don't touch anything.
Oh,
it was
my God.
A lot. But we got through it. It was not the worst. She didn't have an incredibly difficult diaper to change. Like if it was a poop-splosion, that might have been really, really impossible. But I did it. At one point, I did drop one of her shoes on the floor, which made me kind of gag a little bit. But I wiped it off with like a little sanitary wipe.
Okay.
And, you know, it's just airport bathrooms are gross, or airplane bathrooms are gross. Like that's just how it is. You know, they clean it as best they can, but you still smell the smells of everybody who went to the bathroom. So it was not the best. But she got clean and we were fine.
So another part where I remember she was very excited. She was, we got these headphones, but the headphones are like more to like for like noise.
Yeah, like noise counseling headphones for her.
Yeah.
And they fit perfectly.
Yeah. So we put it on. They're
adorable.
She was smiling, loved it.
If you're watching on the YouTube channel, we'll put a picture of it.
Yeah, we'll put a picture. Yeah. So what? She had it on and she couldn't even really hear herself. So she was screaming even louder when like she was like talking to us.
She like, was like, wah,
wah, wah. So I'm like, oh my God, people probably think that she's crying, but she's not crying. But, she's just being loud.
But the people around us were being so, so sweet. And we kind of picked up on the energy. Like people kept looking and smiling at her. And in front of us were grandparents and they were like, oh, she's so, so sweet.
Actually,
and
the
one person offered to take a picture for
us. Yeah, actually, I'm going to post that picture.
Yeah, so everybody was really, really patient. And she wasn't loud. Like she wasn't loud enough to disturb anyone.
But louder.
Like louder. Because she does her little baby babble on a normal basis, but then she amped up the volume when she couldn't hear herself anymore.
So now, you know, we had an opportunity to eat the sandwiches and the food. And by the way, the food that we got for free was not that great.
No, it wasn't.
It was terrible. And I'm like, you know what?
The sandwich was actually better.
The sandwich was actually better, yeah. So I was like, you know what? Whatever. It is what it is.
It's fine.
So we're about to land.
Mm-hmm. Nurse her again.
She was fine. I was very nervous because you're about to land.
That's the worst ear pop.
That's the worst one compared to taking off.
Yeah.
So she was fine. She did great. We landed. It is freezing. And this is, I'm talking about like, it was like in the 20s.
Montana in February.
30s. Snow everywhere.
Yeah.
And we were in this location called Whitefish.
Mm-hmm. Well, we landed at the Kalispell Airport.
Yeah. It's like close to the Glacier Park and all that stuff. So I've never been there. Mm-hmm. So when we landed, I saw outside. I was looking outside, and I'm like, oh my God, there's so much snow.
Yeah, baby's first snow.
First snow. And your family had like clothes for baby because we didn't.
They had blankets, they had jackets, hats,
all kinds of stuff. So she was warm.
It was the generosity of all of their friends and neighbors. They all came to the rescue.
So now we waited for the car seat and the stroller to arrive. We went to the baggage claim. We got everything. And we went back to your family's house. Mm-hmm. They live on a farm, really big area. It's really nice and everything. Great. So stroller inside the bag, day one.
Stayed in the bag,
the end of the trip. It never came out. We used the car seat a lot, of course.
Obviously.
We were out a lot.
Yeah.
But your thoughts about baby's first experience of winter, cold weather, snow, how was that?
Yeah, she seemed fine. She didn't have any issue that we noticed with the snow or the cold. She slept fine while we were there. Again, another borrowed item. There was a bassinet in the cabin we stayed in. Thank you, Christine. Thanks for getting that arranged for us. But yeah, she seemed like she had a great time. She met her cousins and they showered her with love and affection, and everybody was fighting over who got to hold the baby.
Yeah, that was funny.
My dad came into town as well. And so we were all enjoying some family time, and it was wonderful. We played with some horses.
I'll tell you something.
I drove a side by side.
Oh, I see. You did.
That was a lot of fun.
Now, one thing I do have to say.
Yeah.
I think the mistake that we did was having two back-to-back trips.
Agreed. It completely tanked her sleep schedule once we got home.
Yeah, it affected her a lot when we came. Like right now, she's good. Mm-hmm. Right now, she's actually sleeping. Yeah. But
I have another tip.
Oh, what's the other tip?
If you travel with the baby, and I don't know if we're going to like link Amazon products or whatever, but look for a monitor system called Hello Baby. The one that I bought came with two cameras and a receiver that looks like this. And what you can do is, we're looking at her right now. We see Violet. Sorry, if you're on the YouTube, if you're not listening, if you're listening, not watching YouTube, it's like a little radio monitor. And you can see and hear the camera feed, and the cameras can actually be moved from the monitor. Mm-hmm. And so using that both in Las Vegas and in Montana, we were able to be in a different room, but still see her and hear her. And that made it a lot easier to still like stay up and visit with everybody once she was put down and not have to, you know, cut our evenings short because she was asleep. And we use it obviously at home as well, but it's really, really great, especially for travel. If you're not staying in a hotel, like if you're staying in a house or Airbnb or Vrbo or whatever, if you want to put the baby down in a different room, it's great. It's easy to toss into the diaper bag, one of the cameras and the monitor. They work on just a regular power outlet, and it's fantastic. And it reaches really far.
Another thing I have to bring this up to, tip-wise, is we went to Montana, so the time difference is like, what, an hour
or
so?
An hour earlier than here.
An hour
ahead.
Ahead than here. So that's another thing, too. Her sleep schedule changed because of that.
Yeah.
So now, you know, Vegas, then back to LA, then to Montana. But now she's sleeping at a different time because of it was very complicated on that part.
All that, plus, you know, just her being an infant, you know, going through those different stages. So
she's learning. I mean, she's been a great.
She's back to sleeping through the night as of last night.
Yeah, she's really, really
good. It took about a week to get back on schedule.
Yeah, so that's part of that is very, very important. Now, the reason why, and this is another tip, the reason why it is important for us to travel with our daughter is because when I was a kid, and I know you went through the same thing too, I traveled, my mom was telling me, I think I was like maybe like 4 months when I traveled from New York City to Dominican Republic. We would go there all the time.
Long trip.
Like long, long trip, either for Christmas or every year during the summer, we'll go and visit my grandmother, everything like that. And it helped me to get used to the plane. Mm-hmm. So like growing up, I used to love the plane. Like as a kid, I'm like, oh my God, I'm excited. I'm going to travel and all this stuff. So
I know as a kid, both of us have traveled alone as kids before they put rules in place that you can't do that anymore.
I mean, I travel by myself. Like
I flew by myself.
It's not like I bought a ticket and left. It wasn't like that. But it was more of like my mom.
Your mom put you on a plane.
on a plane. Yeah. The flight attendant will take care of me. They'll put me like in certain areas, sometimes first class. Mm-hmm. You know, but
they give you a little snack.
A little snack. They'll give me extra food. Yeah. Everybody else just to feed me. And they're always checking on me. Always like, hey, you're okay. You're okay. But I love that because it helped me when I got older. Mm-hmm. Still travel. Yeah, you know, I love travel, you know. So, but I want our child to get used to that. Very, very important. Not only on planes, but also car, when we do car trips.
Yeah. We still need to do a train at some point.
I want to do train, but I want her to, when she gets older, of course, a little bit older, but I want her to look at the window, see how beautiful the place that we live, you know, mm-hmm. place that we're going. There's a lot of awesome places for her to check out, you know, like just looking through the window, you know, like, and it helps me when I was a kid, it helped me to be more creative. So
for me, it helped me to realize that there's more to life than just my little corner of the world.
Yes.
And to think more about other people and other situations and other
cultures.
And I'm really excited that we're both on the same page about showing our daughter the world.
The part I think that's going to be very complicated is when we go to like East Coast.
Yeah. Longer
or
flights.
Or an international trip where there's a very huge difference in time.
But people do it.
They do it.
They figure it out. And
yeah.
There's a couple of tips that we have looked up ahead of some of these longer trips where some flights will let you, lend you a bassinet if you have the right age and they have one available. Even though an infant under two or baby under two flies for free as a lap seat, you can buy out the third seat in your row put a blow up bassinet in it.
And you can put car seat there too.
You can put the car seat there as well. Yeah. They have rollers for car seats that take up much less space than strollers. If you would like to just roll the car seat through the airport and just fold that up and put it in a bag somewhere. As part of your gate check package. So there's a few more tips that we're going to use for sure. And Violet's small enough that she doesn't need a lot of entertainment on a flight. Her playing with us was just fine to keep her occupied. But, you know, there's other things that you can do. Like there's suction cup toys that stick on the window if you get a window seat so they can play with the little things on the window and they're not kicking the seat in front of them, which can be really annoying for the people in front of them. But yeah, there's other stuff we're definitely going to get to use in the future with her. But I would say the biggest tips are, you know, split up when you're boarding. Don't bring a stroller if you don't need it.
Yeah.
Make sure you gate check stuff. And
I have another one.
And another one.
The other tip is
leave in the middle of the night if you can.
Middle of the night, of course. But some kids love cartoons and music and all that stuff.
Of course.
Bring a tablet if there's an opportunity for you to download like their favorite cartoons or like anything, music or games for her to take time to play like you and her like that. That's very, very important.
Yeah.
We didn't do that at all. We didn't need to, but I feel like we needed that when we were coming back from Montana and we're going to keep this story very short.
Yeah. Yeah. This is going long.
Yeah.
This is the longest episode.
We left from Montana to Los Angeles and we're like, all right, we got this. I think first travel was fine. Mm-hmm. We thought it was going to be the same and it wasn't.
Coming back so, so busy.
First of all, once again, the plane was hot.
Yeah.
She was cranky. She was tired. She didn't know what to do. Plane takes off.
It was also really loud. For some reason on the way back, the loudspeaker was turned up higher and every time they made an announcement it woke her up from whatever nap she was doing.
I feel like the engine was louder.
About the second flight that was just louder.
Yeah, so it really bothered her. She was crying a lot.
But I
gotta give you props because you were feeding her that long.
I was comfort feeding for like 2 hours straight.
2 hours straight just to calm her down.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God.
I'm not
going
to lie. I was tanked after that.
You were exhausted.
Yeah.
But she slept. Again, it was loud. She would wake up. It was very complicated. I think that was the toughest part of the travel out of all the places we went to.
Well, so now we know like if we can, flying overnight, flying red eyes is the way to go. Just make sure she's as sleepy as possible.
Red eye. I'm kind of scared.
So, it worked so well in the car. Like, I just know that that'll be better for us.
Yeah, I'm kind of scared. I'm very terrified about the flying overnight. But we'll see. We'll see.
We still have a lot to learn, but we're working on it, and we're happy to share. What our travels have taught us from experience, and hopefully that helps somebody out there who has a trip coming up with their little one.
One thing I do want to say,
and tell us your tips.
Oh, please. Sign us over here. One thing I do want to say is we want to do more traveling in the future because I have a lot of other family members from my side that haven't met baby yet. Only my mom. My mom lives in New York. So my mom's like, please bring her here
to
New York.
We have to go to Florida.
Everybody wants to see her in New York. Everybody wants to see her in Florida, in Miami, Tampa. Mm-hmm. So we got
to
figure that out.
We're going back to my family in Virginia.
In Virginia. That's in May over there. Ooh, it's a lot of travel. So
the Violet World Tour.
That one. It's going to be very complicated. She's still early.
Should be 5 months, I think. Wait, no, 6 months.
6 months. And then later she's going to be a little older. I think it'll be easier to control.
The older she gets, the easier. Well, the easier it is to, like, you know,
I just want to
negotiate with her, but she'll still be not talking.
Oh my God. But yeah, that or maybe who knows if we go to Europe or Japan or whatever. Like, we don't know what's going to happen this year. We don't know.
The world is our oyster.
Hey. We might win the lotto and we travel more. So
hey, heck yeah. Heck yeah.
Yeah. So, thank you, man. This is a 50 plus minute podcast.
Yeah.
Great conversation.
Two trips, lots of learning and lots of fun. Like, I had a lot of fun traveling with Violet, and going to a work event with my baby, honestly, was so empowering. And I am just so, so thankful that we have a network and a community, and we're in an industry that lets me do this as a mom. You know, that's really important to me because I don't plan on slowing down the things that I would like to do in my career. And I want her to see me doing it. You know, I want her to see mom doing the things that make her happy and that bring us prosperity. So I think that's really cool. And again, just shout out to everybody who has been so supportive and so welcoming and so excited for us. It's been awesome.
Yeah, and thanks to everybody that have been listening to the podcast and or just started listening to the show recently too. Like, thank you so much for the help. And and if you can, you know, spread the word, tell people about the show. This is not a weekly news podcast. It's more, we're going to have different conversations every week about different topics. You know,
next week will be more media-focused again.
Media-focused again, yeah. And who knows what happened after that. Yeah. But yeah.
Again, send your suggestions.
Thank you. And also, what should be the poll for this week? Do you have an idea?
Ooh, the poll. We haven't done it live on the show yet. I think maybe the poll could be what's a place that you've traveled with a young child, or what's the earliest you traveled as a kid?
Oh yeah, newborn, infant.
Like, what's the earliest trip you took?
Yeah. So
ask your parents.
Yeah. So we'll post it and you vote. Yeah. You know? And if you don't have kids, you could guess.
Oh, no, I said yours.
Oh, yours? Each... Okay. I thought you meant for like their kids.
No.
Okay. I see what you're saying. All right. Cool.
Yeah.
That'd be cool.
I'd like to hear.
Yeah. And that's about it. Just spread the word. Tell people about the show. Subscribe on YouTube and the podcast services. And post your comments. We'll read it next week. Yeah. Next episode. All right. Until next time. We're out.
Peace.